he began some years ago to understand the dynamic that has now hit the entire Monterey Bay, the entire central coastline of California, and it's a pattern that's repeating itself all along the shorelines of America, East Coast and West Coast. He's going to discuss with us how Agenda 21, quote, sustainable fisheries have been decimated by federal regulations that implement a globalist Agenda 21 objective. He's also going to talk about local visioning sessions and how they're used to reach predetermined consensus conclusions. Now, here in Santa Cruz, we had plenty of those predetermined consensus visioning sessions early in this decade. They went underground as Freedom 21 Santa Cruz rose and other actions began to happen in this county. But they're back, and they're back in full. And we're going to describe a little bit of that in this hour as well. So America does face a challenge. While most citizens sit back and cross their fingers and hope things work out, keep their head in the sand and say, oh, I don't want to be bothered by all those pernicious ideologies that more and more people are starting to speak about, it's going to come down to the point where people simply are going to have to face the music. America is being transformed. It's being transformed right in front of us, and it's being done through changing our governmental system. You know, Al Gore wasn't kidding when a decade ago he promised us that we were going to see these kinds of changes, and they're coming. It's the stakeholder rally, and stakeholders, if you remember this, you'll be down step one. A stakeholder is one standing with a big pitchfork ready to thrust it into the heart of private property. And of course, it was our first president, George Washington, who said private property and freedom are inseparable. Once you deny the ideals of private property, all freedoms, from freedom of speech to freedom of conscience to the freedom to be who you are, is dissipated, because once private property and its notions are destroyed, government is in control of all things that all people do. Well, let's move right along and introduce our guest tonight for this hour, Mr. Sid Prescott. Sid, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Michael.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice. For our listeners, I'll just say that Sid's one of those citizens from around the country that submitted an article to Freedom 21 for our regular publication, two, 3 years ago? And it was focused on the East Coast fisheries. And it was a well-written and beautifully assessed article. You can see it at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. Type into the search engine Sid Prescott, and you too can see it. But for right now, sit back, tune on your listening cap, and we're going to dig a little deeper than normal into the machinations of Sustainable Development Agenda 21 and how it has just engulfed the East Coast, much as it has engulfed the Central Coast here in California and the Pacific Coast generally. Well, Sid, with that introduction, how do we get the show started?
Well, first of all, Michael, let me thank you for the opportunity to be on your show here, and hopefully during the time we have here before us, we'll be able to make some connections to what is really behind the scenes, or as I opened my article that you kindly published, let's look behind the curtain and see who is really back there. And if we do that, we can identify the problem that's before us, and that's what we need to do. We need to get this out into the general public's knowledge, and heretofore it's been pretty well hidden.
And yet many, many people in the public have joined in to this transformation without understanding where it's leading us and what it will mean for them. It's as though people have joined up to the Third Reich and think glorious things are ahead of us, and yet for those of us who understand Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, we know that nothing could be further from the truth.
That's absolutely correct. And, your introduction, you described your location there in beautiful Monterey Bay, and I visited that area, and it is absolutely gorgeous. And we have a gorgeous country that we live in from coast to coast. It's a balmy evening down here in Florida. And, people generally have they don't they go about their everyday lives and think that I think we think we're protected, Michael, from any real catastrophe happening to us. People generally have a sense that it can't happen here, but unfortunately, I think it is happening here. And over the past 6 to 8 years, I've become pretty familiar with who is behind the scenes and what's driving problems that, in the industry that I used to be in. I'm no longer in the commercial fishing business because I was actually driven out of it. Over the years, through various regulations that were imposed, lost the ability to renew federal permits and different species, which we are required to have if we operate in federal waters, which on the east coast of the United States are 3 miles and more offshore. And I began digging into a lot of these issues, and I don't know how I really got onto it, but at any rate, I began to read some documents and see connections, and pretty much led me to where I am today with a pretty thorough understanding of what's going on. And that's what I'd like to relate to some people here tonight.
Well, let's jump right into that.
Sustainable development, Agenda 21, smart growth, the Convention on Biological Diversity. If you want to understand what's happening, you need to understand what these terms mean. The Convention on Biological Diversity, of course, was the treaty, the United Nations treaty, that came out of the Earth Summit in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro. Sent up a brief synopsis of it to the United States Senate and said ratify it. And the United States Senate was actually one day from the cloture vote when Dr. Michael Kaufman was able to present the maps of the Wildlands Project, which are the implementation of the Wildlands Project is part of Agenda 21 and the Convention on Biological Diversity. The goal of the Wildlands Project, of course, is to place 50% of the land in the United States of America into core wilderness reserves with little to no human use, surrounded by buffer zones equaling another 25% of the area that will have highly regulated uses. And the populations over time will be herded into what will be called sustainable communities. And that leads us to the visioning sessions that are occurring locally here in East Central Florida. We had one that was just concluded in Daytona Beach. The city of Daytona brought in a consultant, paid the gentleman $165,000 for a visioning plan that basically drew an urban growth boundary west of the city, recommended changing city zoning in certain neighborhoods from single-family residential, actually the elimination of single-family residential zoning, and changing that to multifamily high-rise, increasing the density in these areas to that of Manhattan. And basically the plan was, of course, people would live in the apartments and tenements and walk to work or ride public transit, things of that nature. It was, when it finally got to the attention of the public, it's been soundly rejected by the citizens of Daytona Beach, although the city commission has yet to vote on it. That vote's been delayed lately. And now we're having region visioning sessions. I found out that we are in a region here in East Central Florida comprised of 7 counties, and I've attended 2 of these meetings in the past week and a half. And I find that, in my opinion, what's going on in these meetings are, I believe, psychological manipulation of the people that are there to lead them in it's a game called the chip game, where you place circular chips with different population numbers on them representing the projected increase in population in East Central Florida over the next 50 years. And, of course, there are rules to the game. You can only place them in certain areas of the region. And I believe that leads pretty much to a predetermined conclusion. So locally,
let me halt right there, because the pattern that you're talking about in Florida is precisely the pattern that has re-engineered itself here in Santa Cruz. We are now facing once again a multitude of sustainable programs, and the pattern is quite similar to what you described. And we'll be right back here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz in just a moment. We're back here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz with our special guest, Sid Prescott, and we're talking about how the sustainable process of visioning councils is remarkably similar between the central coast of eastern Florida and the central coast of California. The process by which the manipulation of the society occurs is quite similar. And it's amazing how it seems to me, Sid, how our elected officials here, there, and all places in between, from the best of our look and study, are remarkably similar in how it is that our elected officials, none of them to speak of, are observing this fact and are speaking out and saying to the public, you know, we're being ramrodded by this globalist agenda that's leading us all toward a new world order where the human population will be substantially less than what it is today, and where all freedoms are controlled. I mean, it's not just the commercial fishermen. We're talking about all industries. We're talking about all human action. Continue with your description of how the sustainable visioning sessions are taking place in your area.
Well, Michael, I think they have a brilliant strategy in using the environment. And after all, Who is anti-environment? We have to have clean air, water. We like to have clean areas to live and raise our families. And it's a strategy that is almost unbeatable. You go to these meetings, and it's a very well-oiled presentation. They're very slick, very professional. And, of course, it's all gloom and doom if we don't do something right now that... you know, the population is going to overrun all of us, and the quality of life is going to go down. And I think politicians, if you hold elected office, you don't dare do anything that's going to be construed as anti-environment, no matter, you know, how logical or sensible it may be. You're just, your time in office is going to be very limited if you're labeled that way.
Do you see any difference between the Democrat and Republican parties? In regards to what you just addressed?
Of course, there are differences. One example, though, in Florida, we've got two United States senators, one Democrat, one Republican. They both are on record as being against offshore oil drilling. And one thing you may not know about me, I've also spent about 15 years working in the offshore oil fields around the world in the commercial diving business. And I've seen and I know that business from the bottom up, so to speak. And that business, the offshore oil business in the oil fields that I've worked in offshore, from the North Sea to the Persian Gulf to Southeast Asia, all of them are in major fishery areas of the world, North Sea in particular. And it's a major oil-producing area of the world. I made my livelihood off the Central Florida coast for years and years in the commercial fishing industry. And I absolutely would not want to see anything happen to the ocean environment off of Florida or anywhere else if I thought it was a real and significant threat. Yet I will tell you right now that I think one of the best things that we could do as a country would be to go full speed ahead in offshore oil drilling off the East Florida coast and the anywhere else. It would be a boon to the marine environment, and it would be a tremendous help to our country at this time. But,
my observation is that there's really no difference between the Democratic regime or the Republican regime in that they neither one of them will talk about their about how the federal government leading the way has been so influenced by globalist policies dealing at the base level with these environmental considerations that that take our forests and take them off limits to human beings for use or for recreation, for that matter, increasingly, and taking our seas out of production. What you've talked about or have alluded to on the eastern Florida seaboard is exactly what's happening here in the central coast of California. We have a marine sanctuary that is called the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary, Federal Marine Sanctuary. Monterey and Santa Cruz are the points at the Monterey Bay. They're 26 miles apart, but the sanctuary extends for 300 miles up and down the California coast. And, gee, the price of salmon, because of the restrictions on salmon, commercial salmon fishing in the last year, have driven the price in my local supermarket from $6 a pound to $18 a pound. And, of course, that's the result not of the number of fish out in the sea, but the ability of fishermen or the allowability of fishermen to go out and catch the fish. What's the dynamic in Florida in that regard?
Well, it's pretty much in the same way, Michael, but in Florida, like much of the East Coast, the commercial fishing industry is basically down to just remnants of its former size 10 years ago. There's been a steady, gradual erosion of the retail and wholesale fish markets that buy fresh fish from commercial fishermen have been gradually disappearing. And when you lose that infrastructure, you lose your dockage, lose your places to obtain ice to unload your catch. Just to operate your business, you have to have these facilities. Right now on the East Central Florida coast, there used to be dozens and dozens of these retail wholesale establishments, and I can think of one, possibly two, from the lower East Central Florida coast up to the Georgia line. And you can't operate anymore, and people have been falling out of the business continually. In 1996, Congress passed the Sustainable Fishery Act, and that revamped the regulations that are passed by the National Marine Fisheries Service through 11 regional fishery councils around the country. We operate under the South Atlantic Regional Council, and I have an article that was in a publication that's published by the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council in, it was 1997, October. And when I read this, of course, I knew quite a lot about what we were talking about this evening, but it just absolutely knocked me out of my chair to read this in a government publication. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just read you one or two sentences here.
Go right ahead.
This says the objectives of conservation and enhancement of essential fish habitat are parallel to objectives of the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity, a binding international agreement which entered into force in 1993. That is an absolutely profound statement to me to be in a government publication.
Well, because it's absolutely false. That's that's apparent to me, maybe not to all the listeners out there, but that convention was never adopted by the U.S. Senate.
That's exactly right.
Dr. Michael Kaufman took the information that he somehow weaned out of Geneva in respect to that to the U.S. Senate just days before they were to have implemented that, and it never came to a vote. And yet, I think it's fair to say, or you tell me, is it fair to say, it's been being implemented anyway?
Well, absolutely it is being implemented, and here it is in a government publication. It's an article published in this publication, but the essential fish habitat, for people to understand, that actually is a think of that as a policy program, essential fish habitat. That's what that is. So this is saying that the objectives of conservation and enhancement of essential fish habitat, in other words, the policies being promulgated in marine fisheries, are parallel to the objectives to an unratified United Nations treaty. So, and then if we would take them point by point right down the line, we would see the connections to Agenda 21 and sustainable development and the unratified treaty. One example I will give you, in 1998, the South Atlantic Council passed what's known as Amendment 8 to the Snapper Group of Fishery Management Plan. That, the logic behind that they presented it, was to reduce overcapitalization in that fishery, meaning there were too many people in it to operate on the resource that they said was out there. There were about 3,000 permit holders in that fishery in the South Atlantic region. I was one of them. I lost the ability, along with about 75% of the permit holders in that fishery, we lost those permits because of that regulation being imposed upon us.
That might get to one of the lucky 25%, Sid.
Well, the way they did it, they went by past landings. And to give you a little background, you know, there's a developed shark fishery, or used to be, in the United States. The federal government, through the Fishery Management Council, came to the commercial fishing industry and asked us to diversify into an underutilized species, that being sharks. And we did so. I was one of the first five or six on the East Coast to get into the commercial shark fishery. I operated in that for about 5 years exclusively. So during that period of time, I really didn't have any other landings other than shark. So then in 1997, they came and they said that, hey, you guys need to have had at least 1,000 pounds of landings of snapper grouper in one of 3 years in the past that they retroactively went back and picked. Well, I didn't have it, along with about two-thirds of the other permit holders. So we lost the ability to renew the permits. We were out.
So the big guys survived, and the big guys in that fishery survived, and everybody else was squeezed right out.
That's exactly right. And you know what? The landings did not go down. The landings in that fishery have actually gone up because the big guys, the heavy hitters, were basically given a monopoly on it.
And see, I think what people need to come to understand is that that's what sustainability is all about. It's about focusing all the economic power into the hands of fewer and fewer people. It is a way of avoiding the inevitable consequence of fiat money. That means funny money that's not backed up by anything. And the inevitable crash of fiat money systems, which have happened since the beginning of recorded time, when you get away from investment-backed money and you go to simple paper money, it always crashes. And the effort around the world today is to keep those in power, and the thought is that that the fiat collapse can be avoided if the concentrations of power can be accumulated. Sustainability is the process by which that happens. So if you think you're, you know, for the little guy and the all-American, and you're a Democrat and you're supporting the sustainable visioning process in your town, just understand that what you're really doing is feeding the big guys and squeezing out all the ordinary citizens. Would you say that's a fair statement?
I would say that's an absolutely fair and accurate statement, Michael. And it's the small guy, whether you're a fisherman or a farmer or a logger or rancher, that's being squeezed out. And whether it's by sustainable development and Agenda 21 or the so-called free trade agreements, it's a constant squeeze on the American producers and primarily the small entities.
Well, and we're seeing it first laid out on the natural resource providers. You listed them a number of them off, but it is intended to get right down to your local town businesses. You know, the idea is that under sustainable development, firstly, there'll be many fewer people on this planet and in this country, And secondly, it'll only be those who are deemed worthy, and that list will continue to shrink, who will be able to do the real business. You won't choose the course of your life. It will be assigned to you by the powers that be.
Well, exactly, and that's occurring already in our public schools. We can see it very, very early ages. School children are being directed into career paths and things of that nature.
Well, that's what No Child Left Untouched. I think they call it No Child Left Behind. No child left unaffected by this development of this new world order. Let's take a pause here. We have a call from Texas. Dan, I don't know if it's Dan Houston or Dan in Houston, but Dan, you're on the line.
No, it doesn't make much difference. So this thing I'll say about the distribution of wealth and social engineering, we see we go to the John Birch Society website, jbs.org. They got ample numbers of proof of how this is done. And then also, when I was in the military in the Navy on an island out in the middle of nowhere, they had one grocery store that was not run by the military. It was a regular grocery store. And every time there would be a raise of 2 cents or 12 cents on that pay, the price of groceries went up exactly, specifically, that amount. It's unbelievable. I mean, these guys had a hard time getting blankets, get your family back in the 80s or whatever. And so just a few cents meant a lot. And then when they would get a raise for the whole military of a nickel or 12 cents, the groceries would go up. Within 2 days, it almost exactly to the penny that amount of money. This is how thoroughly they control the economy.
So your point is that the economy can be controlled, has been controlled, and you're likening your situation in the military
to exactly
what you see coming for all of society under sustainable policies?
Well, there is control. I mean, there are almost riots on that island. I mean, married guys that have a hard time taking care of their families, they really couldn't afford blankets, get their wife warm. Well, they almost had riots, a mutiny, like in a real mutiny. it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just like clockwork. You get a raise, groceries go up. You get a raise, groceries go up. It is incredible, and the rest of us realize what's going on in our so-called country.
Well, you know, we have a real country. We just, I think, have it in the hands of globalists, whether they be Democrats or Republicans. You see a lot of it in the Libertarian Party, and you certainly see it in the Green Party. There is no spokespeople. Pardon?
We have the Constitution Party.
I have some mixed feelings about the Constitution Party. I think it satisfies a lot of people from the perspective that it takes a very religious perspective. But I think that a political party can rise above all of that and satisfy all of the people on the principles of American independence. We're going to be right back here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz in just a few moments. We're back here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, and with our special guest, Sid Prescott. And Sid, give us some more information about how the Wildlands Project and visioning sessions are affecting our fisheries and infecting adversely the average American.
Michael, you mentioned, I think a few minutes ago, closed areas off the California coast, and we're seeing on the East Coast as well. They're known as marine protected areas. And I talked about those in the article that I wrote. And the actual connection is that we're back to the Wildlands Project, which is the underlying theme behind all of this, in my opinion. But, right now I'm a, I'll tell you what I do for a living. I'm a building inspector, Michael. And when I arrive on a job site, one of the first things I look for and have to do my job is a set of sealed engineered drawings. And that's what I operate on, something that is black and white and authentic. So in the research that I do, I look for the same thing. I want to see factual data. And I keep coming across these connections to all of this in various government documents. And there was a publication by the National Resource Council a couple of years ago, and in it I found this on page 150. It said that the conventional biological diversity increases the obligations of signatory nations to protect biodiversity. And it says, MPAs, or marine protected areas, have been identified as an important mechanism to obtain the objectives of the Convention on Biological Diversity. So there you have it. And the National Marine Fisheries Service is forging full steam ahead with creating marine protected areas all up the coast of the United States, the Gulf of Mexico, and off the coast of California. They're closing off a 207-square-mile area down in the Florida Keys, and there are very large tracts off the east coast of Florida that are already closed. And these are areas that are highly, highly productive areas of bottom. You know, when you're in the fishing business, you just can't go offshore and stop anywhere and drop your line and catch something. You really have to know what you're doing, where you're going, to be productive. And about 15 years ago...
Hold that for just a minute, Sid. We'll be right back here. Welcome back to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio Show. I'm with my guest, Sid Prescott. We're discussing the fisheries and the problems fisheries are seeing on the east and the west coast. And proceed with what you were describing just a moment ago.
Yes, Michael. I was about 15 years ago, the state of Florida implemented a trip ticket program whereby the commercial boat operators, when you come in and unload your catch, you're required to fill out trip tickets, and these are in triplicate. They have the ocean areas sectioned off into grids, each one with a number, and they ask you to write down the grid section that you operated in, and you know, so on and so forth. That data has been being collected for about 15 years now, and I, for the past 5 years or so, had this suspicion that, you know, somewhere somebody is putting dots on a map. And sure enough, that's exactly what's happened, because the areas of highly protected bottom, productive bottom, are the areas that are being proposed or already in closure in marine protected areas.
Well, as I sit here right now looking off as the sun is really setting in California at the Monterey Bay region, most of that is, I'm going to presume, is subject to these same kind of dots dynamics, because local fishermen just aren't able to fish much anymore. When this became a national marine sanctuary, it involved 26 governmental agencies to patrol not just what goes on in the ocean, but everything that goes on from our mountaintops down to the ocean. And those rules are just aggregating every year. The enforcement agencies include the U.S. Coast Guard, the National Marine Fisheries Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the U.S. Customs Service, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the FBI, the California Department of Fish and Game, the California Department of Parks and Recreation, the Highway Patrol, the local harbor masters, and local police. I mean, the rules are everywhere, and what's really curious about this is that the rules are more intense on the land than they are in the sea. So while the fishermen can't catch the fish, the people living up in the mountains are getting squeezed. And not everybody understands that yet. You know, a lot of people play homage to the sustainable development dynamic, and yet they're going to be the very victims of it. It is not simply a fuzzy word to make all things bountiful and well. It is a policy, a globalist policy designed to create havoc with our economic systems, with our political system, and ultimately with our life itself, because it is intended, as David Foreman, one of the founders of the Wildlands Project, one of the core ingredients of sustainable development. He said the human population can be no more than 100,000 people. Now, that's not here in Santa Cruz. When he says 100,000 people, he means worldwide. So what we're going to see develop increasingly out of sustainable policies is hostility between peoples, such that there is an increasing reduction in the number of peoples living on this earth. Sustainable development is the most evil concept ever devised by the most evil people who've ever aggregated in the history of the world. That's my bottom line on it. Do you see anything that would point you differently?
No, not at all. As Dr. Kaufman described it, it's the most anti-human document that he's ever read. And when you get into the details of it, I have to agree with him. It's totally that way. you know, I'd have to ask Mr. Foreman if he would volunteer to be on the reduction side of the population reduction equation.
Well, you know, he might say sure, but that doesn't change my view of the immorality of what's going on and the political forces that are bringing this and thrusting it down the throats of every American. You may not be feeling it fully yet, or what you feel you may not understand to be part of the sustainable dynamic, but that is what has our federal officials and increasingly our local officials here in Santa Cruz. We've had local officials dedicated to these principles even before the Rio Conference in 1990. You know, we had passed a so-called Measure C Decade of the Environment in 1990, which reads exactly like the sustainable document that came out 2 years later from the globalists. So there are some places that are fully vested politically into this dynamic, and there is everywhere else in America where it is right on the edge of being implemented step by step until we find ourselves the American region of the new globalist government that has as its objective the reduction in human population and the elimination of all economic freedoms. And when you do that, there's no freedoms left, not because economic freedom is the essence of freedom, but without economic freedom, as George Washington said, you can't have any freedom. And that's what is so difficult a message to get out to the American people, because the money and the banners and the little short-term benefits that go to the people who implement sustainable development policies have lured so many people into making this attack on themselves and their neighbors and their offspring. And to reverse that is becoming increasingly difficult. Do you have some notions, Sid, about how that reversal begins to accelerate here in the United States?
Well, how do we reverse the snowball that's rolling downhill?
Yeah,
is that what you mean, Michael?
Yes, sir.
It's going to have to be done with people have to have knowledge. You know, it's been said knowledge is power, and without it, you perish. And that's exactly what's going to happen. People are going to have to realize that they can do something about it. I was involved in a very controversial issue here that went on for about 3 years a while back, and I felt like I was the only one out there that was fighting the battle, and pretty much that was the story. And people that I would talk to would, by and large, it just repeated itself time after time. They would say to me, well, there's nothing you can do about it. Well, don't tell me that. Don't tell me there's nothing you can do about it, because if you're saying that to me, you're just running up the flag of surrender. You don't want to be bothered. You're just going to sit on the couch and let it roll over you. We're better than that in this country. We have a history and a heritage and a spirit of independence, and we need to renew that. People need to realize that we just can't sit back and let things take their course, because bad things are going to happen, and that's what I see going on, you know. So people have to get involved. You've got to understand that you can do something about it, no matter how small. Write a letter, make a phone call, go to meetings, start reading, get some information, because we need some help. You know, we need people on the front lines here.
Well, I think that's exactly right. If you've got a comment or a question for our guest tonight, you can call us toll-free at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Well, are you seeing some rise in defensive reaction, the defense of liberty and freedom in Florida?
Just very slight glimmers, Michael. Locally, they're on a full-court press here with pushing smart growth, sustainable development, the Wildlands Project. And there's been a pretty big backlash in the Daytona Beach area against the vision plan because of its just extreme nature. Although people don't know what's really behind it, but we've been talking about this evening. But, you know, as I told you earlier, in one of the state documents that I came across, it's my understanding that there was two or three individuals that were funded to create the Wildlands Project, and we were primarily Larry Harris, Reed Moss, and possibly Michael Soleil. And the state of Florida has published a 5-year implementation plan for its statewide system of greenways. And in it, I find that they actually cite Reed Moss, Larry Harris, and Michael Soleil for the theoretical foundations for the design of what the state of Florida is creating. Wow. In other words, the Wildlands Project.
And just for listeners who do not know, even local Santa Cruzans, Michael Soleil, one of the three men you listed, was a longtime professor while doing this work at the University of California at Santa Cruz. He's kind of a king of the conceptual framework for the Wildlands Project. Of course, you know, now you'll find it all over the UN, and you'll find it all over the United States Department of the Interior, as well as other departments. But this concept of a wildlands, dedicating 50% of America as off-limits for purposes of a globalist control and direction, but using the environment as putting it off-limits as resources or even as recreational uses for Americans, can begin to be understood when you go back over the last 10 years and look at the Clinton and the Bush dynamics and how it is that slowly but steadily our resources here in America, much like the fish off of our coast and the fish off of your coast, have been taken out of the realm of possibility for American entrepreneurs, and by doing that, taken away from the American people. So this Dr. Soleil and the other gentleman you talked about are very important figures for this grandiose change that we in America and people throughout the world are now experiencing as things continue to march toward a worser conclusion.
Yes, and just to give you a sense of where it's headed in Florida, there used to be Preservation 2000 that's been changed to a program called Florida Forever, and it lays out several $1 billion in expenditures over about a 10-year period to acquire endangered land. It was the Suwannee River Water Management District last year spent $15.5 million to purchase a 23-square-mile tract in the northern part of Florida. And in the press release, they said that it would help create a land network that would be the biggest protected wildlife corridor east of the Mississippi. Hardly a day goes by that you don't read in a paper here of another government agency buying more land. There's just no end to it. The expenditure of money even takes priority in state budgets over things like prescription drug assistance to elderly people, which were cut. Yet the land buying funds are continually increased. There was a study by the Florida Farm Bureau, 1995, that showed that in the future, not too distant future, 63% of the land in the state of Florida under government ownership. There's another large landowner organization, A. Duda and Sons. They published their own study that showed up to 83% of the land in the state of Florida under government ownership of some sort if all targeted parcels were acquired. So it's full speed ahead on government buying land.
Well, the government take of land in Florida is equals or exceeds what's happening here in the West. You look at the planned future maps of Florida, and human beings are going to be restricted to a very small percentage of Florida land. And so it's the farmers who are now farming and being pushed off. It's the timber operators that are being pushed off. Of course, you always got Weyerhaeuser to come back in and do what they want as a globalist corporation, meeting the needs of the globalist political machine, satisfying ordinary citizens' needs only to the extent that, number one, they choose to, and number two, to the extent that they're capable of. I mean, we've seen corporate government partnerships in history, not that old a history, in the past. They don't work. the idea of free enterprise with some large corporations that has worked, but it's the free enterprise that really drives the economic engine that makes things well for people, and both economically and in terms of lifestyle and liberty. And that's what the sustainable program with their stakeholder process is all designed to eliminate. Free enterprise is the real target of sustainable development, and we can see that with the fishery policies you described earlier. Only those who were big enough in the past were even allowed to continue fishing activities in off the Florida coast. The family fisherman here in the central coast of California has just been knocked for huge loops. Had been our hope to get someone on the show tonight, and we'll do that again in the near future, from the central coast of California, to describe what it's been like for the average family guy who is a commercial fisherman here on the central coast of California. Those guys like you and Floridians before us are just being squeezed out. And it's only the insiders that continue to play, because you've got a few players in the game as the process moves on and the dollar becomes more and more pressed, and we move to the Amero, which is the North American currency that's being planned, much like the euro in Europe, after the dollar crashes. You know, if you've only got a few major global corporations in management of all things at that point, it becomes a much easier transition, and that's why the free enterprising individual are being squeezed right out of fishing or home building or increasingly any industry you can begin to think about.
You know, one thing, Michael, that occurred to me some time back was that if you stand back and take an overall view of what's happening, if you produce a product that's created from the natural resources of this country, be it fishing, mining, logging, ranching, petroleum, whatever, if you're in an industry that's producing from natural resources, you're on the way out. Your industry is being regulated virtually out of existence. And, you know, they're just locking up the natural resources of the United States. And, you know, I was taught that a country that has abundant natural resources is a wealthy nation. But what do we do when our natural resources are locked away? We have no access to them.
No, we would not, but global interests will. And once they've got those assets securely tucked away, the dollar will be the next victim of their onslaught, and the ultimate victim of their onslaught will be everyone in this listening audience and all their neighbors. Sustainable development is the greatest curse that mankind has ever faced. And when we realize that that curse is being imposed upon us by a narrow group of global elitists that have sucked in our local politicians and made them an accessory to mankind's greatest crime. We'll be right back here at the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio Show with our guest, Sid Prescott. Welcome back to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio Show as we come close to wrapping up this hour. Some of our stations are away for a break, but let's just continue our discussion for the next few minutes with our guest, Sid Prescott. And let me ask, Sid, do you see some rising up in Florida of citizens who are beginning to catch on to this scam that that's coming at us from so many angles?
Well, there was a very definite uprising in Daytona recently in the form of about, I think it was more than 500 people attended a meeting where there was a committee that voted on not recommending, that was a recommendation to not recommend that they implement the vision plan in Daytona. But these people were upset because of the tremendous negative impact that it would have on their lives. They really don't have an understanding of the driving force behind it. And that's my bottom line, to give people knowledge, if I'm in any way able to do so. And I think that this whole thing should be pulled out from behind the scenes, laid on the table, let people see it and understand it, and let's have a national debate on it. Let's really decide, is this the way we want to go? Do we want to lock up 50% of the land in this country and have it out of use, with no human access or very little, surrounded by buffer zones with highly regulated uses and sustainable development and smart growth, the whole thing. Heretofore it's been a hidden agenda behind the scenes, and I think that it should be out in the open. I think people should know it for what it is.
Well, of course, that happened. The freedom-loving American people, even if we've gotten a little rusty with our ideals in that regard, would reject it and reject it out of hand, and that's exactly why the globalist interests that include the leaders of our major political parties keep this behind closed doors and make sure that people who would run with an agenda to expose this dynamic simply don't get their party's nominations. Well, Sid, I want to thank you for being our guest here this evening and for doing some very difficult work. It is difficult to kind of get the base to motivated and understanding about what this is all about. It doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative. Those terms don't mean a thing. What we're talking about is the loss of everyone's liberty. Now, if you happen to be George Bush or Bill Gates, you might find a spot in this new world order. But for the rest of us, that's not the case. So why we should be feeding those interests is just not making sense. I'll look forward to more reports from you, and for our listeners, if you'd like to go to our website to read The Fishery Dynamic in Florida by our guest tonight, Sid Prescott, do that. Just put his name into the search engine, and that article will come up. You'll find out a whole lot of dynamics that relate to the ocean and ocean policies. So, Sid, you've got any final comments you'd like to make here tonight?
Well, Michael, thank you very much for having me this evening. We do have one very, very powerful tool on our side, and that's the truth. And if people would do the research and find out for themselves what's going on here, then they'll be able to use that. And it's when you have the truth and you present it in a factual way, it's pretty irresistible.
Well, I think that's the right way to wrap up this or any show from Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, because that is the truth. There's all kinds of research you can do, and yet you don't have to go very far to get the picture in a broad enough scale that you know that we're in real trouble, and that only through the actions of individuals collaborating with one another is it that we're going to avoid a real tyranny that would face our children and even baby boomers in their senior years. People who are going to be alive much longer all have a direct interest in this. And if you say, well, I'm so old it doesn't matter, I'm going to say you don't want to leave the world in a state that you didn't find it in. And so doing this research is important for everyone. And I'll just suggest a good place to start is the Freedom 21 website. That's www.freedom21santacruz.net or f21sc.net. And you'll get a lot of this information and a lot of the other organizations that are doing the same thing we are, everybody taking a little different source of information for gathering it. Once again, I want to thank you for being with us, and long live Florida. Open up those shores and let the Florida lands belong to the Florida people, and let the people who choose to be in Florida do that, and let's stop this globalist takeaway of California lands, Florida lands, and if you're not in one of those states, I can assure you of but one thing, and that is that it's happening in your state, too. So thank you very much, Sid. And for our listeners, if please stay tuned for the next hour. We're going to have a repeat. Bev Ekman, one of our earlier shows here at Freedom 21. The title of that show is "Do Stakeholders Really Have a Say?" You know, the whole sustainable process is organized around group manipulation. Bev Ekman, who is a real expert on this subject, a former Department of Justice employee, she assesses the tactics and strategies of group manipulation that are used to achieve these sustainable objectives that Sid has been talking about, and she discusses how they can be countered. Here in Santa Cruz, the sustainablers have gone underground for the last couple of years, but I can report to local citizens that they're back and back in force. Three new sustainable organizations have been launched. One is the Santa Cruz Economic Summit. Two is the Community Coalition for a Sustainable Community. And three is the Transportation Funding Task Force. Tomorrow night is a meeting of the last group down at the Seacliff Inn. There they will conduct the little seances known throughout the sustainable circles. Go and check it out, and then pay attention to tonight's show with Bev Ekman and start to catch how America is being transformed under your nose into a totalitarian society. Until next week on our live show, have a good week, think about freedom, and remember, long live liberty. Thank you for listening to this show, and stay tuned for the next very exciting hour.
Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio Show have the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Freedom 21 radio show broadcast from Santa Cruz, California. Tonight, our subject is going to be consensus, the Delphi group manipulation, government-mandated health screening on our children. We're going to hear in our first hour from the Executive Director of the National Education Consortium about these and related subjects. In our second hour, we're going to move up to Washington State, where we are going to witness, hear about the rise of sustainable bondage. Citizens from both Eastern and Western Washington will inform us and report on sustainable policy in that state. This is activities that, upon investigation, you'll find are happening in your state as well. We'll hear.